98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. American built for American dreams.
This is where Erin Maloney takes over for your Rush Hour Reboot. Her job, make you feel good about sports in Arizona.
Thanks for giving me that job, Doug. The Phoenix Suns lost to the Lakers 123-110. So what happened? Here's Suns head coach Monty Williams.
The reality is this is two games in a row where teams have come out with playoff intensity and we haven't started games well or played it well in the first half to have some momentum going into halftime. We've had to come out of halftime and try to dig ourselves out of a semi-hole the other day. And then today, you know, from an intensity standpoint, I thought we were way behind.
How do you feel about the state of the Suns as we are officially in the final week of the regular season?
Oh, my goodness. You know, honestly, once again, I think this is a great basketball team. I really do, but they're not flawless. They've got a personality issue that they've got to figure out here collectively. I don't think it's an individual thing. I think it's a collective thing. But for whatever reason, to come out against the Lakers in this game and look disinterested, man, you've got an issue that you've got to get ironed out inside of that locker room.
I can't stress enough the joy I felt Friday going to my first Suns game since the pandemic, to feel the vibe in the quote-unquote new arena, to feel the fan base, to see the players play like that, and to come lay an egg against the Lakers, and to not even compete at the beginning of the game. I didn't expect it. So I would say how I feel is concerned, because I don't understand how you can go from Friday into that first quarter of Sunday.
The odds are stacked towards the Suns landing second in the standings. Here's Jay Williams from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning.
If I'm the Lakers, I want to see the Phoenix Suns. I want to see them in the first round of the matchups. You know why? Because I think Phoenix is going to be the first top seed to go out early.
Oh.
And they're also, Phoenix is going to rejuvenate the playoff career of LeBron James and Dennis Schroeder when they come back.
What's your reaction to that?
I'm going to take that and loop it inside the Suns locker room over and over and over and over again and see if anybody reacts to it. Honestly, at some point in time, you've got to have a clear path. You've got to concentrate. You've got to focus collectively as a team, and this will help them do it.
I hope they acknowledge the hope they gave the Lakers, because I mean, if you need Jay Will to get you fired up, then you're not the person you want in the Suns locker room anyway. But if they listen to his words and realize that that's what the Lakers are saying, that that's how you made the Lakers feel by your performance, you gave them that hope. I hope it's a wake-up call for them for the rest of the season, because I think they're playing like, look at us, we've been able to get to the two seed, as opposed to sending playoff messages.
Well, the one thing we do know is they do respond to outside forces, don't they?
Hmm.
The Diamondbacks were swept by the Mets to drop their sixth game in a row. So what is going on? Here's D-backs manager Torey Lovello.
Little things matter to me, and they matter to this organization. It's one of the values that I instill inside of this organization on a daily basis. And we're not doing a lot of little things right now. That's probably the area that I am most frustrated by. So,
Wolf, you've been in a locker room as a player. What do you think is going on in the D-backs clubhouse right now?
I really don't know, but it's uneven. I can guarantee you that much. Up and down, I'd like to know who their leaders are, who goes out and models the culture that Torey Lovello was trying to actually propagate. I don't know who that is, but I can tell you right now, I don't see a lot of guys that are stepping up and actually performing. And listen, it's hard, Basinonians. When you are competing at the highest level our species can generate, it's a difficult proposition. But right now, they need their best players to play their best, and they're not getting it. They're not getting it from those guys. So I don't know where it's coming from.
I was just going to say, what do you think, Doug?
Oh, I totally believe in the phrase, the hardest thing to do in all of sports is to hit a round ball with a round bat squarely 30% of the time. Totally believe that. Yet, it is an organizational problem when you have runners in scoring position and you're doing this poorly for this long. That's not just one thing. Mm. There is an organizational problem, and I don't know what the players are doing. Either you're not giving them the right information, you're flooding them with too much information, or the players aren't doing their job in preparation.
The Coyotes and head coach Rick Tocchet have mutually agreed to part ways after 4 years at the helm. Our Sanderson Ford poll question is up now at ArizonaSports.com, and it asks, was it the right time for the Coyotes and Rick Tocchet to part ways? Yes, it's been long enough. Or no, he needed more time.
I'm going to say no.
Why is that, Douglas?
I firing Rick Tocchet does not fix the problems of the Arizona Coyotes. You've solved nothing by that firing. I totally believe they fell apart. I totally believe that there's blame, but there are. I think Rick Tocchet is problem 47, and until I see them address the first 46 problems, I'm not going to believe that firing Rick Tocchet fixes it.
Yeah, you know, I'm with Doug Lease on that one. I think Rick Tocchet is a good coach, and I would venture a guess that he's not done. He's going to get another shot somewhere else, but having said all of that, this was not a surprise. You could see this coming a mile away. You lose 12 of your last 15 games. Oh, by the way, John Chyka is the guy who hired you? Yeah, you could see this coming a mile away. They want a clean house.
What did the fans think?
So 51% say yes, it's been long enough.
Wow.
And then 49% say no, he needed more time.
I am shocked it's that even. That's a great question then.
According to Jeff Howe of The Athletic, the Cardinals had a potential draft day deal in place with the Saints. He went on to say that had the Patriots not selected quarterback Mac Jones, the Saints would have moved up from the 28th pick. How different do you think the Cardinals draft would have looked if that deal actually went through? Let's play the what-if game.
I'm just sorry. I'm so sorry to start laughing about it, Mel, but you know how I feel about this. There's no guarantee Zaven Collins is going to be a player. Honestly, so
maybe
now
it would have been
sudden,
Najee Harris or Javonte Williams.
Well, you know, there you go, right there. Maybe it would have been Najee Harris. I have no idea if Najee Harris is going to be a player. And if there's one guy that I started to fall in love with as we neared the draft and got closer and closer to draft day, it was Najee Harris. And yet, I know deep in my heart, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Go play. Prove you can play at this level, let alone that you're a player at this level. And that you're going to be successful. Prove that you can even play at this level. I don't care. I don't want to hear about your pedigree. I don't want to hear about how many things you did in college, in high school. I don't want to hear about it. Just go play. Go ball. Go ball. Prove you can do that, and everything else will take care of itself.
It's really interesting to think about. That trade, I think, would have worked well for them when you consider how much still would have been on the board and what you could have done with the pick, whether you wanted to go Elijah Moore. If you remember Gambo's five, he said they absolutely loved themselves some Morig, the safety out of TCU. You would have had him there. So tell me how many picks you were going to get. I think that would have benefited the Cardinals greatly, but I don't have a massive negative with their first two picks anyway. But think about how few picks the Cardinals had. That would have helped out a lot. Coming up next, the sundown. The legend of Al McCoy. Al, it's your job to make us feel better about what the Lakers just did to us. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Google Ricky Moore.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station and the home of Phoenix Suns basketball.
Shazam!
Welcome to The Sundown with Al McCoy, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Man, Al, am I glad you're here to make today better, because I walked out of that arena Friday night thinking it was time to get us all rings. It felt so good to win that game. And then Sunday happened, and of all things, to the Lakers. So, Al, why are you thrilled to be a Suns fan this morning?
Well, I can't say why I'm thrilled. I do have a comment about the game. The disappointing thing to me was that no one on the Suns team seemed to realize what it is like to play in Los Angeles against the Lakers, particularly late in the season, in a meaningful game. Mm-hmm. Number one, you have to realize that They are going to go to the free throw line anytime they're touched. That's number one. Number two, you have to realize you're not going to get any calls. Number three, you have to realize if you say hello to official, you get teed up. The point I'm making is you have to come out with mud in your eye. You have to be aggressive. You have to be physical. And if you have to take your lumps from officiating or whatever, you have to do that. But you have to be ready. And obviously, the Suns were not ready last night.
You're right. Man, that is well said right there, Al. Can you give us any perspective on the up-and-down nature of this team? I think for the most part, would you agree, Al, that we've seen that all season long, this up-and-down play, up-and-down of their competition nature?
That's true. And I would say this, when it was happening earlier in the season, I saw a little bit of what I would consider maybe being positive, the fact that they never got rattled when they got down in a game, that they would come back and usually would come out on the strong end of the score. But when it comes playoff time and in playoff games, you don't have that luxury. You can't get too far down because it's too tough to get back when you get into playoff competition. And so I think a little bit of that thinking is going to have to be erased. I don't think there's any question about that.
Al, have you seen some of the other Suns teams from the past? Have they had that same type of personality, that up and down nature, so to speak?
Well, you know, every team has individual personalities. Well, that's a little difficult to say. But to me, and I go back on this because, you know, I've followed a lot of Suns and Lakers series through the years.
Indeed.
That the Lakers are a team that obviously, if the NBA officials were to say, who do we want to be in the NBA playoffs? Those little guys in Phoenix or the big city of Los Angeles? Well, we know the answer to that. And going in there against the Lakers in L.A., you just have to realize that unless you come out super aggressive, you're going to get run over because you're not going to get to the free throw line. You're not going to get calls. Now, I could go through that game last night. Many occasions where the Suns should have gone to the line. Mm-hmm. Several occasions where shots were blocked and there was definitely goaltending. You're just not going to get the calls in L.A. And you have to be ready for that. And the Suns definitely were not ready for that in that last game.
Lakers shot 41 free throws. The Suns shot 25 in the 123-110 loss yesterday. You know, it's one thing that's always fascinating is how many times Al people have said it's always cyclical. You know, things go around, it'll even itself out. We're going on about since Michael Jordan retired, so somewhere of about a 24-year stretch where nothing's cyclical. The Western Conference is 400 times more dominant than the Eastern Conference, and I just looked up and noticed something I didn't realize. The Knicks are America's darling. Their record is 38-30. The Lakers have all of these problems. They're 38-30. And it's just, when's the last time you were intimidated by the Eastern Conference, Al?
Well, you said something just a moment ago. You give up 41 free throws to an opposition, you're going to have a tough time winning a ball game.
Yes.
And the Lakers with 41 free throws and the big edge from the free throw line certainly was a big part of it. So, again, the bottom line is you just as well be aggressive, and you're going to pick up those foul calls anyway. So be aggressive, and the Suns have to show that early. I thought Coach Williams hit the nail on the head earlier when he said they just haven't come out at the start of games, the last couple of games, with the intensity that's going to need come playoff time. No question about it.
Well, if you had a wish list for how this would go for the Phoenix Suns over the last four games and how it might go for some of the other teams that are out there in terms of playoff matchups, who would you like to see the Suns get matched up with in that first round?
You know, I don't think it makes a bit of difference. It's going to be competitive. The Suns' schedule the rest of the way is not easy. They're going to run into Golden State tomorrow night, a team that the NBA likes with one of the greatest scorers in the history of the game. And then you've got Portland, then you've got San Antonio. I don't think I need to say any more. So as far as the matchup in the playoffs, I don't think it makes a bit of difference. You have to come out playoff ready. And I think the Suns will. I still like this team. I still think there's talent. I still think there's confidence. I just think maybe that will be a little bit of a wake-up call last night. Mm. It's frustrating when you go against the Lakers in L.A., when you can't get calls, when you know you're just getting pushed around, but you've got to respond. And the thing that disappointed me last night was the Suns didn't respond. Mm. And they're going to have to start doing that, or they're going to be shaken up come playoff time, no question about it.
It's really interesting if you just heard what Al said going through the remaining four games for the Suns. The beginning of that, the Jazz have the exact same thing. Jazz are at Golden State, home against Portland. The Suns are at Golden State, home against Portland in the next two games, so there's no difference there. Al, when you see what DeAndre Ayton did Friday night and what DeAndre Ayton did Sunday, when you watch Ayton play, is there something that you see early on that says, here we go, Ayton's going to have one of those moments that are just special? Or are you able to tell, this is one of those nights where he's going to struggle?
Well, I'm laughing because I wish I could tell how you wind up DA, because when you do, and we just say, hey, look what this guy's doing. He's unbelievable. When he doesn't get wound up, you don't get much. Mm. And we look for that consistency. And I guess, you know, we continue to say, well, he's still learning. He's just a young kid. And I guess we have to continue to say that. But you'd like to see him get wound up and use the aggressive ability that we know he has, but he just doesn't seem to be able to get it every night.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier in the season, Dario Saric was a guy that I just absolutely loved watching play. He was so critical, so important. You can go all the way back to the bubble and talk about how good he was down in the bubble in Orlando. And coming into this season, I think the start of the season as well, Dario Saric was having an excellent year, and it seems like he has really tapered off here as of late. Your thoughts on Dario Saric and what you're seeing, Al?
Well, I think that's true. He had a couple of minor injuries. His playing time decreased. That seemed to affect him when he wasn't getting playing time and just had to come in the late stages. I do think that he'll be showing that aggressiveness in the playoffs. He's that type of kid, that type of player. I do think he'll come back and be strong in the playoffs. He's just had a little bit of a lull, and sometimes in a long NBA season, that's hard to really rationalize or describe, but I do think the ability is there, the intensity is there, and I do think we'll see him coming down the wire and in the playoffs.
Golden State gets to start this playoff push with a back-to-back. Home against Utah, home against the Suns. 1-2 back-to-back. This is pretty important for the Suns to be able to take advantage of Golden State's schedule and get a win tomorrow night, right, Al?
No question about it. After the game in L.A., they need to bounce back with intensity, with aggressiveness, with physical play, and show everybody that they are a playoff team. And they're going to have a tough guy to handle in Curry, no question about it. But he can score 60, and you can still beat Golden State. Just remember that.
Yes. Al, you know we love you. Do you have any final thoughts?
Well, my final thought is I was disappointed in the way the Suns approached the Laker game, because by now, and I've been going over there for 50 years, you know how the game is going to be played. It's going to be played in the Lakers' home court, and the officials know it. Everybody knows it, and you have to be ready that you're not going to get calls, you're not going to get to the free throw line, and the Suns just weren't ready. Maybe the next time around, they will be.
Thank you, legend. We appreciate you, buddy, as
absolutely,
always.
Al.
Thank you.
Have a good rest
have
of your day.
Have a good
Al.
One, guys.
Thank you. You too. Al McCoy joining us like he will after every single Suns game. Suns play again on Tuesday night, so we'll talk to him coming up on Wednesday after the Suns-Golden State game. Up next, D-backs left for a six-game road trip, two games above 500. Now they're back home. You want to know how they did? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
This has been the Sundown with Al McCoy, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Four-game series against the Marlins starts tonight. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. They just played the Marlins, then went to New York after playing the Marlins. They got swept by the Marlins, and now the Marlins are back. They're taking on National League East, which is the worst division in baseball, and you just went 0-6 in a road trip through the National League East. They don't face the Mets in this homestand, but they do have another engagement with Washington, who they split a four-game series in Washington. And that last game in Washington is what started to make us feel good about the Diamondbacks when they started rolling on a great road trip, unlike this one, in which it was just downright terrible.
With the frustration mounting for an assortment of different reasons, we came out here with the best of intentions to grind through and compete and win a baseball game. I thought we put ourselves in position to do that several times today. We just couldn't get that big hit at the right time to break this game open. Once again, it's that slug situation that we've been mentioning where, we've had the right guys in the right spots with the ability to break games open, and it's just not getting done. But we will continue to talk about certain things and do the best we can as teachers and allow these guys to go out and perform at the high level that they have spoiled us with from time to time.
Man, it's just got to be so difficult for Torrey right now. You can just feel it. It's wearing on him, obviously, and I'm sure that it's wearing on a lot of guys that are in that clubhouse right now. But anytime you go for, 4 of 32 with runners in scoring position and 2 of 28 in the series before that with runners in scoring position, I mean, that to me is 6 of 60, ladies and gentlemen, in two series, and you lose all of those games. After getting all of those runners in scoring position, you cannot come up with timely hits enough to actually win a game. It's got to be demoralizing. I wonder what the morale is like inside that clubhouse right now. This is something that I know an awful lot about, Basinonians. Unfortunately, I do. Losing and what it's like to be below 500 and losing games. Now, listen, the Diamondbacks, they were 15-13, and suddenly they lose six games in a row out of nowhere. And now 15-19 on the season. It's not over by any stretch of the imagination. I don't want to make it sound like it is, but it can't be very happy inside of that clubhouse.
I think you've hit something that you don't even realize the magic of what you said, because there's a definite line of demarcation right now with this six-game losing streak, and it is squarely manager versus everybody else, and it's going to be interesting to see who wins. And the reason why I say that is I don't know if anybody's noticed, Torrey Lovello is managing totally differently this year. And let me be one of the only people in the city to stand on the table and say, you're doing a good job, and it's not working.
And how so, Douglas?
Simply put, if you want to get into the minutia of individual decisions, Jacob DeGrom was lights out as normal. He is the single greatest pitcher in the National League, and he started to fall apart in the fifth inning. Totally fell apart. And your pitcher, Riley Smith, is doing a decent job. He's not getting blown up at all. And then in the fifth inning, you yanked him for Christian Walker to come up to the plate. Now, if you don't know baseball stats, it's really simple. When you don't pitch five complete innings as a starting pitcher, you can't get the win. Mm. So Torrey Lovello took away the chance for a win from Riley Smith. Why? Because he felt like this is our shot. Jacob DeGrom is starting to fall apart. We've got to take advantage of this right now. Put in Christian Walker. I think that's a gutsy decision. I think that's exactly the right decision. How often do you get a chance to blow up Jacob DeGrom? You have no idea he's going to have some side issue an inning later and have to get pulled.
Right.
You put in Christian Walker, he strikes out.
It didn't work.
There are so many decisions he's made this year that when they work, nobody in the clubhouse can complain. No one can say a word because they're working. Now he's making decisions that are tough. A lot of players won't like, wait, you're pinch hitting for me? Oh, the next guy got a pinch hit. Okay, I can't say anything. He's done it to Nick Ahmed. He's done it to other players that are veterans, where he's managing to win today's game. and it's not working, which usually gets players fired up. Then he started talking about the little things and mentioned players not in the right spot.
Torrey, with another thing with Eduardo, was he playing a little too deep on that DeGrom at bat there when he wound up putting down the bunt single?
I thought so, yes. That's one of those little things that I'm talking about. And it's not Eduardo's fault. It was more than that. I know he's the easy target. We got to figure that out.
Man, does that mean right there? It's not Eduardo's fault.
When you say that, and I don't think it's the first one at all, but you are either basically being dishonest because you don't think the player's strong enough to handle being called out. So you say, and it's not his fault. Or the message between infield coach and the Diamondbacks infield is not being relayed to the level that the manager wants it to be relayed. There's a lot here to unpack.
Here's the one thing that I've got a problem with right here is in that situation, you have to believe that Eduardo Escobar should know exactly where he should be in that situation.
In today's modern baseball, I understand some level of confusion, not when it's a pitcher with a runner on first.
Exactly, Dougley. So, I mean, honestly, Eduardo Escobar has been around for a long, long time, and these guys get scouting reports, right? Of course they do. I don't know. It just, to me,
when
I have a hard
up
time.
To the plate and there's no outs and a guy on first, unless it's Madison Bumgarner or going back to Mike Hampton or Babe Ruth, Walter Johnson once batted 400 one year, the guy's bunting.
I just don't know why it's not Eduardo's fault. I'm such a big believer in personal responsibility. And taking personal responsibility and having personal responsibility that when you don't give that player, somebody who's out there competing, you don't give them that personal responsibility, everything starts to disintegrate, in my opinion. It does. How is it not his? Honestly, I have a hard time buying it. I do.
I can just tell you, when you start making tough decisions as a manager that isn't to the benefit of people's feelings, and those decisions aren't working, that's when things get a little feisty. That's when there gets to be some splinters. I'll stand on the table and say, I love the new Torrey Lovello, but I accept the fact that the results are not there. And that's really when things start getting rubbed the wrong way. This is something to pay attention to. It all gets fixed with a good homestand. All gets fixed. You go 5-2, maybe things are okay. But it's official. There's a notice going out right now.
I don't know. You know what? I don't know if it does get fixed. If there's not a lot of personal responsibility going on inside of that clubhouse, maybe that's the problem.
I've been wondering about that for a couple of years now, so you might be on to something there. Text playoffs to 620-620. This is pretty cool. We're the exclusive Arizona Sports Suns Playoff Valley virtual event holders. So if you want in on this, you get Arizona Sports hosts, you get other special guests, you can crack the code, and you have a chance to win an autographed jersey as well. Text playoffs to 620-620. The Valley Virtual Series is presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. Coming up next, what did Friday and Sunday Suns games have in common? The coach will tell you. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
We understand that the expectations of this team have gone up exponentially.
Playoffs, titles, however you strike it, we're here to win games.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
We added a first ballot Hall of Fame point guard.
Chris Paul walks in, and you know instantly who's in charge.
With Chris and Devin, DeAndre, Cam, and Bridges, you've got a really strong foundation.
They become a real factor in this Western Conference race.
Don't be surprised if they make it to the Western Conference Finals.
Shazam!
Doug and Wolf talk Suns now.
Sorry to put Maloney on the spot, but Aaron, you know what I need this week? I need some Kendrick Perkins because I don't feel good right now.
Little KP.
I don't feel good about the Suns, and I know a little K Perk is going to perk me up and make me feel a lot better about where the Suns are because they just stunk yesterday.
Carry on.
Thank you. You know what? I'm back. That's what I needed that. I got some bad news, though. Is a month enough of a sample size? For the analytic people out there, whenever they disagree with a stat, They'll say, well, it's a small sample size.
Yes, of course.
Is a month of NBA basketball a good sample size?
Yes.
19 games out of a 72-game season.
I'll take 19. I mean, you're not going to build a church on it, but it's a worthy sample size.
In the last 19 games, Devin Booker is shooting 26% from three. 26%.
Yeah, I feel that.
And out of the 19 games, only three times did he ever make more than two.
Wow.
So.
But you know what? Now that you're saying that, think back to recent memory right now. 19 games. Think of April for the most part. Yeah. You know what? Honestly, I feel that. I think we all have. That Devin Booker has struggled from three.
How often have you, and I would say through the beginning part of the season, just felt that feeling of money? The phrase that I used in the 80s, way back then when I was in high school, we used to say franchise. Oh, as soon as somebody that you believed in was getting ready to line up, franchise.
Franchise.
And you know, really? Money, whatever you want to say about a guy that's lining up for three that you know is going to hit it. When's the last time you felt like that about Devin Booker?
Did anyone else out there say franchise? Did anyone? I've never even heard that.
Oh, yeah.
Franchise.
Well, that's a good thing then.
What?
That's a good thing because I was the only one that was doing it.
Okay,
that
there you go. Right there. Okay.
So what's going on with Devin Booker? I don't think the bar is too high to say for him to make three or four threes a game. And he's only had three games where he hit three or more threes. I'm not saying the world's coming to an end, and I love the fact that Devin Booker's the only superstar in America that realizes I'm not hitting my threes, I need to go to the basket.
Yes.
It's exactly what he should be doing.
And I love what he's doing because he is going to the basket.
But I do ask the question, Devin, this is a long enough sample size to say, what is going on from three?
I don't know, but now you've got me thinking of something that I was not thinking before. There's enough stuff to think about with the Suns right now, is there not? Like, what is the up and down nature of this team to a point that it's starting to become startling, for lack of a better way of saying it? I think the height of it, my concern, was watching the Cleveland Cavaliers in that overtime period. Ding! The light bulb went on, and it was over for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Well, where was that in the previous four quarters, that kind of intensity? And where is it coming from?
The negative of that is the belief that,
or not coming from.
Since we did it against Cleveland, we can always flip the switch. And when you think like that, then you're just, and I'm saying this about a team with Chris Paul on it. I realize how dumb this is. But you're not an intense team then. If you need to have somebody else do something to get you to flip the switch, let's think about how the Suns started the game against the Lakers yesterday.
Man.
You're playing against an Anthony Davis-led team that you're going to see in the first round of the playoffs potentially. After what you did to the Knicks and didn't start well, you have everything going and you're in the heritage city of the NBA against either the greatest NBA franchise or second greatest, depending on how you feel about Boston, and one of the greatest teams in American sports. And you're down 11-4 at the beginning of the game. And talent-wise, you're better than they are. Now explain how that happens.
Yeah, we just have to come out ready to go. As simple as that. So whatever you have to do to motivate yourself, if you have to, you know, to yourself, to the other team, whatever it is, we just have to do it. You know, there's no scheme in effort.
Yeah, thank you, D. We appreciate that right there. You know what? Devin Booker, though, is a guy that was right in the middle and is right in the middle of some of these starts for the Phoenix Suns. And you have to wonder what happened. It's just a horrible start for the Suns yesterday. Watching this here, I for Chris Paul to turn it over three times, trying to pass the ball in what I thought was impossible, frankly, to actually get a ball in there. Now, I realize it's Chris Paul, and I'm picking at a scab here. But for him to turn the ball over three times and Devin Booker to go 1 of 5 from the floor and D.A. having played 4 minutes, had no shot attempts and 2 fouls, Those are, you know, those are the three guys you're looking at right now, at least I am, and saying, okay, how are you guys going to come out? Are you guys ready to ball out? Are you ready to play? Where's the personal responsibility? That's what I want to hear more of, the personal responsibility. We were talking about this for the Diamondbacks. When it gets bad, what do you do? How do you respond when it gets bad? That's the question that I have. How are you going to respond, and what are you going to do when it gets bad? And Chris Paul is the best leader I think we could possibly
remember
talk
what
about.
Al McCoy said 2 weeks ago. The greatest leader.
The greatest
in the
leader,
of the
exactly right. And yet you need some followers as well in that situation. So
I'm dying to see, here's my beef with the Suns right now is we are talking about a deserved 2 seed. We're talking about a 48-20 team. We're talking about a championship contender. All of those things need to be said. But this backcourt defense problem, the amount of guards that are getting into the paint, I can't imagine, and I hope you're not bored to death as a listener, that I've been talking about the same problem for 3 weeks now. But what really bothers me is either Monty Williams isn't working hard enough to see it or fix it, or Devin Booker and Chris Paul have their heads so far up their butt, they're not listening. That's a real major issue.
That's not the case.
How do you not have it fixed in 3 weeks? How is this not fixed? When you see Caruso waltzing through the lane, how does nobody take it personally on the team? So many of front court scoring in the last 3 weeks is because a guard is in the lane and Ayton's got to leave his guy to come stop the penetration that Paul and Booker have allowed, and now Ayton's guy is scoring. How is this not fixed in 3 weeks? That's a lack of personal integrity, that you're not taking your job so personally to say, I see this problem, I got to fix it. The negative of it is when you say, you know what, I'll just fix it offensively.
Yeah.
I can just go out there and I can, the famous Mike D'Antoni defense. Well, if I hit a three and you just drove past me for a two, I won. No, you didn't. And this was the hallmark of this team, was defense. And now you can't stop Caldwell Pope and Caruso?
I just honestly right now don't like the fact that they're so up and down. They're so Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I've been talking about it all morning long. We've been talking about it for weeks right now. But that is a collective personality trait of the Phoenix Suns. Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is a great team that we're talking about. It is. The Phoenix Suns are a great basketball team. But for me to think that they're going to get into the postseason and suddenly that switch is going to go away, that this isn't going to be an issue in the postseason, I'm not so sure. And because of that, I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not so sure it's just going to go bye-bye once they get into the postseason. This has been around all year long, this personality trait of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
I'm worried now for the first time because
it doesn't
of the
mean they're
game.
Not a great team. They are. It just means that personality flaw at some point may cost him in the postseason badly.
I just can't believe if that's what happens to you when they're down LeBron, what happens to you when they've got LeBron? And if you say, well, they just didn't bring the intensity because LeBron wasn't there, well, then A, why not? And B, did Anthony Davis enough to the table?
I think it's because LeBron wasn't there.
Yeah, that's just amazing. Saying. So Anthony Davis, all-star game all the time, and yet, oh, well, we can just win by showing up. Coming up next, was there a chance the Cardinals had somebody else in mind other than Zaven Collins? Well, it was Bill Belichick that affected the pick. We'll tell you what next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.